memories. Emily was always rather proud of the exquisite nature of her own chowder. Learned it from a spinster cousin, Harriet, who hailed from Nantucket or some such place.
Can I have some, Doc?
But of course.
The chowder steamed in the cool of the evening as he ladled out a generous helping for the boy.
Dear Emily made it with fresh butter and homegrown herbs and spices for that extra touch of piquancy.
Doc sat down and began to eat, seemingly oblivious to the tears that trickled down his cheeks. Mildred had only a small portion before pushing away her plate. She refused the oatcakes.
Just don't feel hungry. Sorry. Nothing personal, Ryan, truly. Just don't feel hungry. Nerves. Used to be a bit like this the night before a big shooting match. Once I reached the range, I was fine. I think you did what was right, Ryan.
Thanks, Mildred.
Didn't like it. I remember. So long ago. Seeing a famous bit of news vid. Some policeman in Saigon who pulled out his pistol and blew away some poor bastard they captured. I guess the dead guy must have been what they called the Viet Cong. That was different from what you did. Still...
Taking a life's never easy, Mildred.
I know that, John. Last few months, I've seen things that I'd never have... Well, enough. Time for bed.
Good night, Mildred. Good night, JB. Sleep well. Could be a bright start in the morning.
JB rubbed a dribble of chowder from his chin.
If I had Jack to spend, I'd lay it out on Dawn tomorrow. After you put a hornet up his ass, Yeovil won't be much in the mood for waiting around.
I came across a book in one of the laboratories yesterday. I shall retire and give myself the luxury of reading a real book.
What is it, Doc? Good novel? Slim volume of verse?
No, no. It's called Polydichromates in Trimolecular Halogenic Monoglutamates. A rare pleasure.
Oh. I read that already, Doc.
Truly?
Yes. It was the butler who did the murder. Found his prints on the dagger in the library.
Yes. Most amusing, my dear Christie. Most amusing. You should be on the stage.
I should.
Indeed. There's one leaving from the depot at 7 a.m. Be on it. Oh, that wowed him in the vaudeville circuit when I was a lad.
I'm for an early night, too, Doc. Good night, all.
Dean caught the glance that his father gave him.
Oh, do I have to, Dad? I'm not tired.
Tomorrow's likely to begin quick and finish early, son. If you're going to be real useful, you need to get to bed now. Off you go.
Okay. Can I stay on a watch tonight, Dad?
No.
Why not?
Because I say you need sleep, Dean. Now go on. Off to bed. Please.
The please was a rare concession from Ryan, and the boy recognized it.
Okay, Dad. Good night, Christie.
After they were left alone, Ryan pulled out the chair next to his and rested his boots on it. He looked across at the window. With the lights on indoors, it was almost impossible to see what was going on outside. On the table, the large tureen was scraped empty, the smaller one still with a couple of inches of the chowder, congealing in the bottom. Only Michael and Dean had been much tempted by the honeyed oatcakes on the round plate.
It's going to be bad tomorrow.
Christie looked at him, her fathomless green eyes betraying no emotion.
I know. Long odds. Backs to the sea. And if they have a war wag?
Well, I got an idea about that.
Yes?
Gonna take me a walk before I turn in, lover. You want to come?
No. I've got a field strip my Smith & Wesson ready for tomorrow. Clean and oil it. If I got chilled because my blaster jammed, I don't think John Barrymore Dix would ever forgive me. I'll wait for you.
I won't be long.
As he walked through the cool evening, with the sound of the surf a constant murmur in his ears, Ryan tried to imagine what the trader would have done in a situation like this. He probably would have sent out a wreck to find the pirate's main camp, and then gone in with all blasters firing and kicked the shit out of Red Jack Yeovil and his bunch of thugs. Then again, when you had the highly trained crews of at least 2 combat-honed war wags, that kind of battle plan was easy to formulate and even easier to implement. Ryan had only himself and JB who were really experienced. Christie was good, and Mildred was a fine shot. Doc would try and would offer to run headfirst through a brick wall if you asked him to. Dean had survived as rough an upbringing as any kid of 11 and wouldn't flinch when the shooting started. And Michael had already demonstrated his own determination to do the best that he could. Mark Tomlin was an enigma. Ryan still couldn't decide which side the scientist was on. Then again, that was true of most people he met. The rest of the Institute seemed to be just an average bunch of folks, which wasn't saying much when it came to an out-and-out firefight. They had no effective transport, except for their boats with their unreliable gas engines.
Gas?
Ryan hadn't thought about that. It took him a couple of hours to explore, and then carry out the beginnings of a tactical plan, something that might work when the pirates finally arrived. Then again, it might not. On the way back to rejoin Christy, Ryan found himself wandering to the glassy curtain of the ocean, among the docks and quays, seeing a light glowing in the area where most of the communication research was done.
That you, Michael?
No, Ryan. Is that Miranda?
Yeah.
You expecting Michael?
Miranda sat right at the end of the wharf, her feet dangling into the pen nearest to the sea.
He comes out some nights.
I was just going to bed. Thought I'd take a last walk this way.
Sure.
Mind if I join you?
Free country. My father's father used to say that. Said that his father's father used to say that. Kind of a family joke. The old man was born in the middle of the 1900s. Free country, Ryan.
Ryan sat down, feeling the stone still retaining a little warmth of the day. The steel mesh barrier was up, offering access direct out to the sea.
How old are you, Miranda? 15? 20? Guess I'm not good at women and ages. Check that. I'm not all that good with women, period.
Miranda smiled at Ryan, relaxing a little.
You ride with Christy Roth. Seems to me that makes you a man who knows about women. The answer to your question is that I'm 17. 2 years younger than Michael.
He asked you to come along with us?
She didn't reply at first, picking up a tiny flake of concrete and flicking it into the pen below her.
Sort of.
What did you say?
I'd think about it.
It trembled on Ryan's lips to tell the young woman that it wasn't that simple. He didn't just get to come along on Michael Brothers' say-so. If anyone made that kind of decision, then it was Ryan himself. But there was no point in mentioning that now. Not with an attack expected in the next couple of days from a superior and murderous force. The time to tell Miranda that she might not be going with them would be when they saw who'd survived. If anyone survived.
Nothing from any of the dolphins?
That's the reason I'm out here now. I sent 4 out an hour ago. There's still one of the previous lot that hasn't come home. Something could have happened to him.
Tell me as soon as...
Of course. You don't need to tell me that, Ryan. Not a stoop, you know.
I know. Sorry.
He stood and stared out over the endless expanse of water. He turned away, then checked himself, looking more carefully. Miranda was already gone, slipping down into the 5 feet of water in the pen below, with scarcely a splash, dipping her head under the surface. Ryan watched as the dorsal fin came closer, moving fast, leaving a V-shaped trail of phosphorescence stretching behind it, roughly north by west. The night seemed suddenly to have gone very quiet, so quiet that he almost thought he could hear the clicks and whistles, though he knew that was impossible from where he was. Ryan waited for the young woman to react. Miranda's head lifted, seawater streaming down from her hair. She looked up at him, her face pale in the moonlight.
They're coming. They're on their way here.
I say, can you see by the early light of the dawn that we are about to receive a number of notably uninvited visitors?
Mildred sat with her back against one of the outer walls.
Just don't start on about this being the land of the brave, Doc.
Dying's easy. Living's hard.
Fucking crap, Michael. People say shit like that know nothing about death. Nothing. There's never anything easy about death. Doesn't matter how it comes.
I didn't...
I'll grant you that there's ways of dying that's worse than others. A slow, bleak, and lonely passing comes at the very bottom of the list. But I tell you, it never, ever comes easy.
Dean had been finishing off a hasty, cold breakfast, and he scampered to join them, the heavy Browning flapping on his right hip. He half-waved to his father, who was standing with Tomlin and Christy, looking out past the main entrance.
Hi, Dad. Anything? Ugh, hey, who dropped a real green cheesy one?
What? What do you mean?
Smells like... Oh, I know. It's that sulfur stuff.
Right.
Christy lifted her head, the light dawn breeze tugging at the tight curls of the brilliant red.
It must be another of those undersea eruptions somewhere not far off. Maybe it'll blow away the pirates.
Now they could all smell it. From where they were standing, the buildings blocked off the view of the sea, off to the east. But Ryan craned up on tiptoe, seeing the ominous beginning of a dirty yellow cloud blossoming over the Atlantic, starting to draw a